Chapter 13 again. And let me just read two verses. And again, let me point out the way this says this. And all that dwell, as verse 8 of Revelation 13, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Of course, the him is a reference to the beast. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then I did not read last week this next verse. If any man have an ear, let him hear.
Amen.
It is no coincidence that we hear these words after this. But neither is it a coincidence that this is actually, verse 8, is stated in the negative.
Yeah.
As I mentioned last week, it just struck me when I read this because, Joe, I would have written this another way.
Yeah.
I would have said more along the lines, and all whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world shall not worship him.
Exactly.
That's the way I would have put it because that's me.
Yeah, exactly.
But notice that's not the way God moved John to write it.
Exactly.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that is the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let me say this. The so-called Christian world, that which men call Christendom, all of professing Christianity, or at least the greatest majority of professing Christianity, and especially what men call evangelical Christianity. And what is meant by that is, and this will be an oversimplification, I'm sure, but what most mean when they say evangelical Christianity is this: man's in a bad shape, and he needs something outside of himself to bring him to God.
Yeah.
Even Arminians believe that. Even free willers believe that.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is they do not believe the truth.
Right.
That's the problem. Just being evangelical, just knowing that man has a problem and needs that problem fixed, that it begins or must come from without himself or outside of himself, is not necessarily the truth. The problem is not that man can't see or man can't hear. The problem is all he can see and hear is the lies. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Now granted, we can say he can't see or hear because he can't see or hear the truth. Man is dead in trespasses and sins, but he's not just dead. He's very alive unto lies and error. And this is actually what the Apostle John is talking about. Not those who are saved, but those who are lost. But the whole point is this: whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. That's an amazing phrase when you think about it. A book of life that's based upon what? Death.
Exactly.
You see that? And most people have no idea what that means. They think of it in mystical or magical terms.
Yeah.
Like the blood of Jesus Christ washes away your sins. And they think of it in some mystical way. Or get your sins under the blood.
Yeah.
Or have your sins washed in the blood. They do not understand substitution and the penal reckoning of sin against and upon the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They don't understand that. And this salvation that God's purposed for a people, this salvation is not a response by God. It's a purpose, or no. It's not a response by God. It is the purpose of God.
Amen.
Because here it's clear that this book of life, which I'm not even going to talk about in and of itself, but the book of life is of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
Now, Some want to argue about that, and I'll deal with that a little later maybe, about the phrase from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
I have even said and heard people say the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's not what it says, but it doesn't deny that. What John is saying is that even before the fall took place, salvation, life, is all wrapped up in the slain lamb.
Amen.
It's from the foundation of the world. Adam sinned after the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Because Adam was the last part of the world that was created. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
He was the last thing. That was on what? The sixth day, was it not? Therefore, we are here trying to look at the perpetuity of the Lamb. Here's part of the problem. Religion doesn't reject Christ as the Lamb. They reject the character.
Yeah.
They reject the attributes of the Lamb.
That's it.
That's the problem. They see the wrong Lamb.
Yes, sir.
A different Lamb. And even as you will read here, there is one. Now, look. Look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a, same word,
yes, sir.
Like a lamb.
Yeah.
And remember, this is the lambkin.
Yes, right.
It's a baby lamb.
Yeah.
And as I said last week, and let me say it again, the world thinks, but nobody hates the baby lamb. They don't hate the baby lamb as a baby lamb. They hate the Lamb who sits upon the throne of God's salvation.
Amen.
That's what they hate. Now, the perpetuity of Christ the Lamb is not just quantity. It's not just length. It's not distance. It has to do with quality. Our Lord is glorious not simply because He's eternal. Okay? He's glorious not simply because He's eternal. He is glorious because He is holy.
Amen.
Holy. And that, again, let me say, most of us think we've been so, at least, maybe not all of us here, but I was so entrenched with error, brought up under it, steeped under it, taught it. When I was young, when I think of holiness, I think of sinlessness. That's certainly true. But holiness means separateness.
Yes, sir.
Our God is completely and absolutely distinct from everything that we can relate to.
That's right.
It's absolutely different.
Amen.
He says, my thoughts are not different than your thoughts. That's true. That's certainly true. I'm not saying that's not true. But he didn't say my thoughts are, or he didn't say my thoughts are different. He said my thoughts are what? They are not your thoughts.
Amen.
My ways are not your ways.
Amen.
So again, the perpetuity of Christ the Lamb is of quality and not just quantity. We can say it's duration, because it is, but it's far more than duration. But it's more about excellence.
Yes.
It's more about capacity. It's more about Christ's perpetual being. And other than His actual incarnation in human flesh, Jesus Christ has always been and always will be what He is.
Yeah, amen.
Even when He became a man, Joe, He didn't become more than what He was. He simply took upon Himself a human nature.
Exactly.
You see, He did not become more than what He was. He did not become more God,
no.
Because He is God of very God. Now, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8, and I want to park there for a while. Now, of course, Proverbs chapter 8 is a book about wisdom.
Yeah.
And it starts out, doth not wisdom cry? But in this chapter, wisdom is personified.
Yes, sir.
It is, and I do not know, I don't even know, it is even humanized.
Yeah.
It's even humanized.
Yeah.
Because read the whole chapter, and I don't have time to read and deal with and even speak from the whole chapter. But look at what it says. Just for instance, just verse 30. Then I was by him. You see that?
Yeah.
Then I was by him. Verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto what? Me. O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life. And most people, when they think of this, they think, well, Solomon wrote this, so Solomon's talking about we need to get that kind of wisdom that God gave him, so we know how to find out whether a baby ought to go to this parent or that parent. Isn't that what they think of?
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's far deeper than that.
Yes, sir.
It's far deeper than that. Look at what it says, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. What does it mean? It means to erect. It means to, it is sometimes used to create or to own. But the whole word here speaks of a covenant relationship. A union that not only cannot be severed, but a union that had no beginning. It is what some people have termed, some of the older writers, termed an eternal, or that eternal union. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. And what does it state? The beginning of his way, what? Before his works of old. So in other words, this thing, this wisdom that Solomon here is talking about was not even the beginning work. He preceded every work.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
This is why we do not teach, as some, that Jesus Christ is just another created being. And this is why the Apostle John was even moved to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, what? Was God. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up. What's that mean? The word set up, it means to pour out or to cast like you would metal in a mold. To set up or to pour out like a libation, like a drink offering. To pour out, to cast. And sometimes, you know, this word is translated to anoint as king.
Yeah.
To anoint as king. That's the meaning of the word. I was set up. When? From, now the word says everlasting, and men try to say, well, that means it had a beginning but no end. No, that's not so. This is eternal. I was set up from eternity.
Amen.
It is an eternal setting.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that happened and then has no end. It's something that always was. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. And when was the beginning? Or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, what? I was there.
Yeah.
I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. You know what that word means, don't you? A compass? Is it any wonder we don't make square compasses? It means circular, round. It means to a circuit. In other words, before God Almighty ever even created this world and the waters began to flow in their circuit, Jesus Christ was there.
Amen.
That's what this is talking about.
Right.
While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I read that, didn't I? I think I left one verse out, didn't I? Or did I? When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth. And let me tell you, there are foundations of the earth.
Yeah.
This terrestrial ball hangs in the middle of what?
Yeah.
We would think nothing. Mm-hmm. You know? Let me tell you something. God Almighty has pillars supporting this earth. You know what that pillar is? His absolute, almighty, sovereign word.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I've seen, I can't even think of his name now, his depiction of gravity and how all of the universe is on this waving plane, which is signified by a grid, and gravity, and where the sun sits, and the earth, and all the planets, and the moon, and the stars, and it all sits on this plane, and it pushes down on the plane just a little, as though this is what's holding up the earth. No, God Almighty holds up the earth.
Amen.
If that were all it was, because they talk about it. And then they got all the technical explanations. Everything in this universe would crash together were it not for God Almighty setting the foundations of it.
Amen.
He holds it. But even before that was established, Jesus Christ was with the Father.
Yes, sir.
Then, and then look at this, verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily, which is just an amazing statement.
Yeah.
Daily.
This
lets me know that God Almighty was not in some eternal dark before he said, let there be light.
Exactly.
Because God, what?
Is light.
Is light.
Amen.
You see it? And notice it was not daily and nightly, but what? Mason, that eternal day.
Yeah.
I was daily his delight. This is why it says that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This is what gives God delight. This is who gives God delight?
Amen.
It can be said this way. God delights in nothing else but his Son.
Yeah.
He delights in nothing else other than those things that are what? In his Son.
Yeah.
And God hath both willed, he hath purposed, and he hath brought to pass the very fact that he will condemn and wipe away, he will judge everything that's outside of Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons why even this world will be done away with. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth. Why? Because God is pleased with everything that is in Christ and in Christ only.
Amen.
Then was I by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I wish I had the words to convey what I know this is saying, but Mason, I don't have them.
Yeah.
This is the eternal triune God rejoicing in himself.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But specifically in the person of the Son.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
That way, or whichever way is right. Forever. Never was there a time when this was not so.
Exactly.
God was not asleep for the ages. God was. And he always delighted in Christ. Rejoicing. Now here's what's even amazing. Look. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men.
Amen.
It is beyond my words to explain, as I know this ought to be explained. Maybe, David, even beyond the ability of us finite creatures to explain. Although I am persuaded there are some men that God is so gifted, they could far more ably explain it than I can. Nevertheless, I cannot put in words the very thought that Jesus Christ had his heart and mind set on me or set on you even before the world was.
Yes, sir.
Think of that.
Yes, sir.
Even knowing
what
we would be.
Yes, sir.
In Adam. True. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Only God can speak like this. You know that? Only God can speak like this. But then here are the words. And notice again, it's put in the negative, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now therefore, hearken unto me. Why? Because we are so prone not to.
Exactly.
That's why.
That's it.
I mean, you don't, if someone has an innate, intrinsic ability to something, do you have to encourage them to do it? If you take a ball and you're standing on a hill and you let the ball go, do you have to say, ball, roll downhill?
Exactly.
Do you?
No.
Anybody else standing around you seeing you do that is going to know you need some pills.
Exactly.
The reason we're told, the reason we're warned to hearken is because, one, we have no hearing to start with. And God tells us to listen, to hearken, to pay attention, to bring to our attention the fact that we don't have those things.
Exactly.
Most people think this is just a matter of God informing us that we ought to hear.
Yeah.
No, the truth is God is informing us that we cannot hear.
Amen.
Go back to verse 9, Revelation 13, what does it say?
Yeah.
He that hath an ear, let him hear. And of course, do I need to tell you where the hearing ear comes from? Yeah, let me tell you anyway. Let me tell you anyway. The hearing ear and the seeing eye come from where? From the Lord. He's made both of them.
Amen.
Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Now what is to keep his ways? Now think about this. Most people think then, morality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right?
The Ten Commandments. You're right, David. The Ten Commandments. And certainly that is not outside the realm of this.
No.
Okay? That's certainly not outside the realm of this. But what are the facts concerning those things?
Yeah.
Morality. God Almighty's law. Signified by the ten, but including hundreds of laws. I cannot do them. I cannot do them. I'm totally incapable. Here's the answer. For blessed are they that keep my ways. If God the Father eternally delighted in him, what should I then delight in?
Yeah.
What are his ways? Who he is and what he has done. That's the point. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. And refuse it not. What? Instruction and wisdom. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. What does this signify? What does this typify? What does it illustrate? Someone who is under God Almighty's sovereign hand, waiting for God to do what God is pleased to do in the person of his Son. Wait for what? Me, Christ says.
Yeah.
Right? What did the Apostle Paul say about religious people? Now, he mentioned them. He was talking about the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But it applies to all religious people.
Yeah.
They are what? Going about to establish their own righteousness.
Yeah.
God Almighty warns us and instructs us, wait upon a righteousness to come. Wait upon a righteousness that is not your own.
Yeah.
Wait upon a righteousness that is totally outside of yourself. Wait upon what I give, not upon what you can work out.
Exactly.
That's what he's talking about. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. Joe, you just said it. You just preached from it. Even the Son was sent to declare the word of God, wasn't
yes,
it? Now let me tell you, God is still speaking to men through men.
Yes, sir.
And any word we get from God is going to come from some man, because right here is the only word of God there is. And all of this was written by men.
That's
was
right.
It not?
Yeah.
But God Almighty sent his Son, and he says what? Hear him. Look, for whoso findeth me. See, that's the whole point.
Yes, sir.
To find him is to have found what? Life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against what? me. You see, if I could be one of the most moral men that ever walked on the face of the earth, if I could do that, if I sin against Christ, what's going to happen? But he that sinneth against me does what? Wrongeth his own soul.
That's right.
All they that hate me do what? They love death.
Amen.
They love death. You see, if God Almighty is pleased with the Father, then I have not just no right, Joe. It's not just no right. Then it is an affront to God for me not to be absolutely, totally satisfied with the person and the work of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Now let me move forward just a little, but let me make a statement. And I know there's probably a better way to state this. I understand that. And there are times when I hear some of these other men preach, and I listen to these CDs, and I'm not bragging here, but you know, I listen to them almost twice a day. I listen to them twice a day, 5 days a week. One on the way to work, and one on the way back. Every day, even David, if I have to play the same ones over and over and over again. Why? Because listening to the gospel is far better than listening to the radio.
You're right.
It's just a fact.
Yep.
You know? It's just a fact. Now, don't mean that to boast on myself, because that's what feeds me.
Yeah.
That's what encourages me. That's what sustains me, is to hear the Word of God preached. And I hear these men preach, and I think, how can I really be called of God to do this?
Yeah,
and until you've tried to stand here, you really don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But to a small degree, on those occasions when God Almighty gives you the opportunity to speak of the glories of the person and work of Christ to someone, and no matter how much you learn, no matter how much you gain, no matter how much knowledge you experience, you always look at it afterwards and say, man, I could have said that a whole lot better.
Exactly.
You know?
I do.
That's what I experience every time I stand here. 52 times a year. That's what I experience. But here's the whole point. Let me say this. Here's the point now I want to make. There is a difference in sinners. Did you know that? There is a difference in sinners. Now, what do I mean by that? Do I mean that there are some sinners who are better than other sinners? No, that's not what I mean by that. Am I saying that there are some people who are wiser than other? Or no, am I saying there are some sinners who are wiser than other sinners? No. There's not a one of us that has anything that is favorable to God in and of ourselves. Not a one of us. The Scripture says of me, and the Scripture says of you, there is none righteous. No, not one. That includes me standing right here trying to proclaim the Word of God. I still am not gaining any favor by God even by preaching the gospel. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none good. There is none that seeketh after God. You know the whole litany. But even more than that, God, through his apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, the first part of that chapter says, even of the elect of God, those that in time he quickens, he says, we were just like everybody else. Right? Even, it's summed up, even as others. The same spirit that worked in them, worked in who? Me. But still, I'm here to declare there is a difference in sinners. There is a difference. Now look at it. Turn to Isaiah chapter 66. Now see, I could sit here, I could talk to you doctrine, and rightfully so. I think you know that I am not mocking that by any means. There are times when I wonder if I have doctrinitis, and that's all I care about is doctrine. There are times I wonder about that. I find myself being, Jack, so picky about what I want to say and what I ought to say and what ought to be said. And I'm sure sometimes it's the flesh. But let me say this, no matter how much flesh I manifest, God Almighty is absolute picky in what pleases Him. Absolute, and where He at, so much so that our Lord said that you will give an account of every idle word, that men will give an account of every idle word they have spoken. Yes, that's frightening.
Yes, sir.
That's frightening. But look at Isaiah 66. I said there is a difference in sinners. Isaiah 66 verse 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Now you know what that means, don't you? You can relate to that. And usually, if you think about a throne and a footstool, what do you think? Now think about this. Most people depict God as up there frantically working. Even when He is able to get done what He wants done, He's got to frantically work to do that. What do you have when you have a throne and a footstool?
Yeah.
That makes me think of my recliner at home.
That's it.
Don't it, you? You got a place to sit and a place to prop your feet up. That's relaxed.
Yes, sir.
Is it not?
Yeah.
As others have said before, when it says on the sixth day God rested, well, on the sixth day He finished the work, on the seventh day, I'm sorry, He rested, it wasn't because God was tired.
That's right.
It's because God was finished.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. As far as God is concerned, it's all finished way back yonder.
Amen.
He's not up there having to keep it all work together. It is all worked together.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, and where is the house that ye shall build for me? Now look, you thought I was, Walter was just making this up, right? Boy, it sounded good, didn't it, about that earth and footstool thing? No, look, and where is the place of my what?
Rest.
I wasn't making it up, was I? Where's the place of my rest? Look, for all those things hath mine hand made. Notice, not His making. All those things hath mine hand made. And all those things, what? Have been.
Yeah.
But why is this going the way it is? Why is this happening in our country? Why is this happening in my soul? Why is this happening to my family? Because God Almighty said it would.
Amen.
And we will quit murmuring and complaining when we finally realize God Almighty is absolutely sovereign.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we know He is.
Yeah.
But we so easily forget that, don't we?
Yeah.
Listen, there's nothing that happens in this world that my God and your God hadn't ordained to happen, just like it has happened.
Yeah.
Even if it takes every dollar out of my pocket and every car out of my garage and the roof from over my head and the clothes off my back. Right?
Yep.
It's God. It's God. For all those things that mine hand made and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But, now think about it. To me, this all, it's almost like out of the blue.
Yeah.
But look at what it says. But, to this man will I look. Now, does God say that or not?
That's it.
You remember even our Lord, I think it was to the woman at the well, remember? He said, men must worship God in spirit and in truth, right?
Yeah.
So what did He say? For God seeketh such to worship Him. Now, you don't have to have me explain that, do you? But let me go ahead anyway. It doesn't mean God is dependent, that God is sitting there waiting on someone to let Him have His way. But here's the whole point. He is seeking such to worship Him that way, and those are the only ones that will worship Him, because you must worship Him that way.
Yes, sir.
You believe in lies, you'll go to where liars go.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
I don't care if you believe in sovereign absolute regeneration. You believe in lies, guess where you're going to go?
Yes.
To where all liars go. Our Lord said Satan's the father of lies, and he's got some children. And they like what?
Yeah.
What do they like?
Yeah.
Lies.
Exactly.
Lies. Even, but, not even. It says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of what? Contrite spirit. And what?
Yeah.
Trembleth. Do you read God's word? And does it scare the living bejeebies out of you?
Yeah.
Do you see who God is in His Word, and it just frightens you almost senseless?
Yeah.
Even when you see the lambkin.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. The lambkin, the little baby male lamb, yet you realize He sits upon the throne.
Yes, sir.
He's the one who has the right to take the book out of the hand of God who sits on the throne.
Yes,
and begin to open up seals on that book. And guess what begins to happen? Judgment and calamity. It's the little baby lamb doing that.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? Yes, it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed. But when you see Him, what do you see? A lambkin. A lambkin. That right. As it had been slain. And yet this lambkin is the one who's going to knowingly, willingly, purposefully open seals and judgments fall.
Amen.
You see that? Our Lord told His disciples, not the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Our Lord told His disciples, not the Pharisees. Our Lord told us, not the free willers.
Yes, sir.
Fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Don't fear any man. All they can do is kill your body.
Exactly.
But you fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Why? Because God only looks to those of a contrite spirit and those who tremble at His word.
Yeah.
Think of it. Proverbs. Now here's the opposite. Here's the opposite. Proverbs. Let me get back to where I've got it wrote down here. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 1. He that being often reproved. What? And hardeneth his neck.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say? Well, maybe one day God will be merciful to him. Is that what it says? No. It says, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy.
Amen.
Do not take God's grace for granted.
Exactly.
Do not think God owes you or me anything. But he has to be merciful to me. I'm no worse than so and so. You've totally missed it then. Well, He has to forgive me of this sin because I read He forgave so and so of that same sin. You've missed it then. You see? You've missed it then. God says, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and whom I will, I'll harden.
Amen.
Who does He look to? Those that are of contrite spirit and trembles at His word. And let me tell you, you reject His word, you've got nothing to lean on.
That's it.
Nothing to lean on. Nothing whatsoever. Luke chapter 7. And let me read that. Here's an account of our Lord. Luke chapter 7. And look at verse 29 and 30. And all the people that heard Him. That all is limited if you read the context.
Yep.
And all the people that heard Him. Now notice what they heard. And you're going to hear something.
Yeah.
Now let me just stop here a moment. It don't matter if I don't get through this very far. There are those who think because we teach here in regeneration by a sovereign fiat of God that God breathes life, spiritual life, into one of His elect, and He does it apart from the gospel. They think we believe the gospel is not necessary. But that's not so.
Yeah, no.
Either you will hear the truth of God or you'll perish forever.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a John the Baptist in your mommy's belly, you're going to hear the truth of God.
Yes, sir.
Just like He did.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're Abram over there in Ur of the Chaldees, you're still going to hear something. I don't care if you're Rahab the harlot in Jericho. You're going to what? She said, and we heard.
That's right.
Because that's the way God operates.
Yeah.
And what are you going to hear? His word.
Exactly.
His truth.
Yes, sir.
Look at what it says. And all the people that heard Him and the publicans, what'd they do? Justified God. How many people do you know that are running around justifying God? Well, God don't need to be justified. It ain't a matter of need. It's a matter of right.
Amen. That's it.
It ain't a matter of God needs me to justify Him. That's not at all what Luke is talking about here.
Exactly.
Look at it. Justified God. What? They were saying, John, what you're saying about us is right.
Amen.
We're wicked. We're corrupt. We're depraved. We're sinners. But there was another group of people. But the Pharisees and lawyers did what? Rejected the counsel of God against themselves. In other words, I think it was old Henry Mahan said one time, and others have said it afterward, and I will say it again today. You will be brought by God in His grace and marvelous compassion to take sides with God against yourself, or you will never see God in sovereign saving mercy. You will take sides with God against yourself. Don't worry about who's sitting beside you. Don't worry about your husband. Don't worry about your wife. Don't worry about your kids. Worry about yourself.
Amen.
Worry about yourself. Be concerned about yourself. Let me get back to Proverbs. But he that sinneth against me does what? Wrongeth his own soul. Wrongeth his own soul. All they that love me love death. Now let me illustrate this. I'll mention a couple here. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. And the Apostle Paul was being sarcastic when he used this. He said, who makes you to differ? Now God does make us to differ. That is the whole point. But he was being sarcastic. Who makes you to differ? And what of you that you have not received?
Exactly.
The point is, you are different.
Yes, sir.
You are different.
Yes, sir.
Because Proverbs chapter 14 verse 9 says, fools make a mock at sin. Do the God's people do that? They can on occasion. But that's not the way of their life.
Exactly.
That's not the way of their... And let me tell you something. That's not what they know deep down in here. You know, usually when we do that as believers, you know what we're doing? Usually it's because somebody's pointed their finger at us and said, you're wrong. And we try to become self-defensive. Self-justifying.
Yeah.
But let me illustrate this from Scripture. You remember when Nathan come to David after David's great sin with Bathsheba? And Nathan was tricky. I see, most people think, well, the preacher, just come right out and just tell me right out. You really don't want me to just come and tell you right out. Just like I don't like somebody just coming to me and telling me straight out.
Yeah.
Do you like somebody getting up at you and pointing their finger in your face? Huh? If somebody starts with you in that way, what are you usually going to do? Now, come on, be defensive, aren't you? But what's Nathan do? He comes along and tells him the story about two people. And one had many lambs, and another one had one little ewe lamb, one little female lamb. And what happened? The rich guy that had all these lambs, he took the poor man's one little ewe lamb and made a meal out of it for his friends. And what did David say? That man deserves the judgment of God. That's exactly what you and I do. Don't we? Now, let's not act like we're better than David was. We do we'd respond with the same sense of the righteous indignation against such actions as that. Now, don't you? I do that all the time. I watch TV and I become overly vexed at it. And I refuse to tolerate in them what I'll tolerate in myself.
That's it.
You're right. Now, right? See, some folks think, when I'm up here preaching to you about how great I am. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But what did what did Nathan do? He finally put the old finger. And I think it might have been Scott Richards that said he stuck that old bony finger. I don't know whether he had a bony finger or not, but he said he stuck that old bony finger up in David's face. And what did he say? David, you're the man. And then what did David do? Why? Because he did have, by God's grace and compassion and mercy, a contrite spirit and a broken heart, and he trembled at God's word. Once it hit the fan, what did he say? I have sinned against the Lord.
Amen.
And that's all he said. I remember hearing Don Fortner preach a message that included that, and he said, I would think he would have said more than that, wouldn't you? But that's all he said. I've sinned against the Lord. But then there's another king. You remember the other one called Saul? And Samuel told him, said, there's this guy down here, Agag. He's the king of the Amalekites. And you remember what they did to Your forefathers, the folks that come in out of the wilderness, remember what they did? They lie in wait in the wilderness to entrap Israel and attack Israel. He said, I want you to take your army, and I want you to go down there to the Amalekites, and I want you to slaughter everything, even the little bitty babies.
Yeah.
Is that not what Samuel told Saul to do?
Yes, sir.
Go down there and kill everything that has breath in its nostrils. Kill it.
Yeah.
Kill it dead. Even the animals and the little babies. I mean, you sit here, you think about a little one like that. They were supposed to go do that, right?
Yeah, right.
And you know what Saul did?
Yeah.
He slew every person but one. The king, the one who was, Joe, the one who was in charge of it all.
Exactly.
Slew every other person, saved Agag alive, and kept the best sheep and the oxen. And God told Samuel, he didn't do what I told him to do. Now go down there and tell him he didn't do what I told him to do. And Samuel went down there to tell Saul, you didn't do what God said to do. And he comes up and he says, Saul, you didn't do what God told you to do.
That's right.
What did he say, Saul? What happened yesterday?
Yeah.
Saul said, boy, we obeyed the word. We've obeyed God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then Samuel said, well, what meaneth the bleeding of these sheep in my ear? I hear, my,
exactly.
What? You did what God said to do? And what did Saul do? I sinned against the Lord. Did he? He said, no, but now Samuel, wait a minute, Samuel.
Yeah.
The people actually talked me into keeping the animals to sacrifice to God.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it, you see the difference in sinners? David was a sinner and Saul was a sinner. But you see the difference in the sinners?
Right.
Huh? And then eventually Samuel said, this ain't going to work. This don't cut it.
Yeah.
And you know what Saul said? You know what he actually started to say then? Well, but you know what? Okay, and Samuel told him, listen, God rejected you as king.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? Well, at least, this is what he said. You read it for yourself. I put it in different words, but this is what he said. But Samuel, don't do it publicly. Let me save face in front of the people. You go back and read it. Constantly excusing or trying to justify his sin. You see it?
Yeah.
A man that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck. And eventually, what did he say? Well, I did sin against God. Yes, Samuel, I did. Eventually everybody will say I'm a sinner. You know, I'm caught. I got no escape. But you know what he said? Well, pray. Here's what he said to Samuel. Pray your God. Pray your God. That's what it is. Samuel, your God. Why wasn't it? Yeah, our God. Well, my God. Why? Because there is a difference in sinners. There is a difference in sinners. Job put it this way. Turn to this and I'll close with this one. Job chapter 20. Well, this time to eat, I'm hungry. Job chapter 20. And let me begin in verse 20, I think. Let me look here. I think I'm right. I hope I got the right. If I don't, I have no idea where it's at. No, I'm sorry. Job 28. That's why. Job 28. And verse 20. Now, even in this chapter, it's talking about what? Wisdom.
Yeah.
And look, verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing, now look. Look at it. This is amazing. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living.
Yeah.
And kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Oh yeah, I know about that.
Yeah.
Right? Oh yeah, I know about that. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven. What's he say? In other words, there is nothing hid before God Almighty. In other words, confessing sin is not informing God.
Yeah.
It's acknowledging what we really are, and or what we've really done to God. That's what it's all about. God understandeth the way thereof, he knoweth the place thereof, for he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. See, the whole thing. In other words, how are you going to escape someone who knows how much weight that all those oceans have?
Exactly.
He knows what it weighs. Look, when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. Do you see that? The fear of the Lord, departing from evil. And what's the first evil we depart from?
Yeah.
There's the question. You know what most people say? Well, I used to be a drunk.
Yeah.
And now I'm not. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, I used to be a fornicator. And now I'm not. I used to go to X-rated movies. Now I don't. I used to chew Red Man. Or Levi. Or whatever it is. But now I don't. You know what the first sin that the Holy Spirit convicts anybody about is? And when he has come, talk about the Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, why?
Yeah.
Why? What's the first and primary problem of every human being on the face of this earth? Of sin, because he believes not on me.
Amen.
You see, if you get everything else right and miss the Lamb,
exactly,
you've missed it all.
That's
the whole point. If you get rid of all of your immoral things and immoral deeds and whatever it is, and you miss Jesus Christ, you missed it all. If I do that, David, I've missed it all. Missed it all. Father, as we continue together here, give us fellowship in thy word, in thy truth. Lord, as it speaks of thy Son, we thank you in his name. Amen.